Because thou hast first loved me and purchased my pardon on Calvary's tree, I love thee for wearing the thorns on thy brow. I love the Lord for what he did, for what he was willing to suffer. If it hadn't been for Jesus, we just could have never been saved. And I thank the Lord. I know that it wasn't easy for him to come here. He suffered those things. He felt the physical pain, just like you and I feel physical pain. I'm persuaded to believe that he suffered more emotional and spiritual pain than anybody has ever suffered. But he endured. He endured the cross, despising the shame, and to sit down at the right hand of God. And I'm going to go see him here in a little while. And when I go, I'm going to stay with him. Thankful to be here tonight, and again, thankful to have Brother Jeff with us. We're going to give way to him to bring the message. Brother Jeff has taught here in our winter Bible study and has preached here before, and I don't think he really needs much of an introduction. Some of you may not know Brother Jeff. He was a former pastor until not long ago. He was the pastor at Mount Lebanon Missionary Baptist Church here in our area, and I know that he would desire our prayers now that God would direct his path and lead him to where into the work that he would have him to be involved in next. We need to pray for Brother Glasscock as he starts his pastorate there at Mount Lebanon. I suppose that I've known Brother Jeff for about 30 years, and I suppose that I have been associated with him in the ministry probably as much, if not more, than I have any other my preacher brothers. I was trying to think, and I was just doing this on the drive here this evening, and I thought of, just right off the top of my head, I could think of 9 different states where we have been in worship services together, some as far away from here as Alaska, and we have worked together in revivals, been in some really, really good spiritual services together through the years. I was Brother Jeff's pastor for about 5 years when we lived there in Illinois, and he's been busy in the Lord's work, done mission work in several different places, I'm thankful for his ministry, and want to ask you to pray for his ministry as he continues on to work for the Lord. His wife, Sister Judy, I knew her parents when I was just a very young boy, and so they've both gone on to be with the Lord, and may the Lord bless their memory here tonight. Her dad, Brother Larry Taylor, was a wonderful preacher. Some of you may remember him. I remember he preached here years ago on a Wednesday evening during the Old Union Minister School, and I remember coming here and hearing him preach that night. And so just pray for Brother Jeff tonight as he stands before us. I love him, been a good friend, and glad to have him with us tonight. You give your attention to the word of the Lord and pray for him tonight as he comes to bring the message.
Well, you never know with Brother Jerry where he might take off. I was worried there. He knows a lot of things in the course of 30-some-odd years that I could sit over there in the hot seat. It was hot for a little bit, brother, because I didn't know where you were going. I really want to thank the church and your pastor for a chance to come out again and stand before you. And I hope, and I got a goal in mind. I don't want to be a. This is kind of risque to say, I guess, but you might. Have you ever heard of a seagull preacher? I don't know if nobody's shaking their head. They kind of fly in and poo on you and then fly away. You know, come in and out. I can get away with that tonight, but that's not my goal. That's not my intention at all this evening. I mean, if that's what the Lord wanted me to do, I could possibly do that. But you know, I really feel in my heart. I got a message of hope, and you know, I just love the Word of God because it's hope. From cover to cover, it's about hope. It's about real hope, about things that are real in this life. Let me start this way tonight. Have you ever just doubted? You ever have doubt? You raise your hand if you have. I want to see it. I think you all have doubt. Well, that's the title of my subject tonight, Why Doubt? Why Doubt? With a subtitle, A Refuge from the Storm. And hopefully, with the help of the Lord and the burden that He's given me tonight, I want to try to lift you up this evening as the church of the true and living God. I want to try to be able to, when we're done, all said and done with, we say the last amen. I want to be able to try, with the help of the Lord, that you'll walk out of here a little bit, feeling a little bit better about being a child of God, about the God that you serve. Friends, and that's easy to do when you have the Word of God. I could go to a lot of places and with the help of the Lord, inspire the church of the living God. But I want to know, why doubt tonight, friends? I want to speak about God. I've got a great subject tonight, don't I? I get to speak about Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of my faith, someone of whom I know personally this evening. I know Him well, and I'm thankful to know that. And that gives me hope tonight, that I know such a Savior that loves me and cares for me. And so I say, why doubt tonight? Why doubt? The subtitle, Refuge from My Storm. Now, normally, I guess, in the order, if there was anything normal about me, I would probably give you the text verse where I got my subtitle and all that, but I'm not going to do that. I want to save that to the end this evening. For whatever reason, that's just the way I felt. So I want to start off with a definition of doubt this evening. According to Webster's Dictionary, it says doubt, to waver or fluctuate, in opinion, to hesitate, to be in suspense, to be uncertain, to question or to hold questionable, to doubt, to have some little thing nagging at you, my friend. my main goal, main thought comes from my, as I said, a different place, but I'm going to end with my main thought this evening instead of start with it. But so I'm going to go right to the Word of God in the book of Hebrews. You know, the Word of the living God, you know, is alive. It's real. It brings hope, brethren. It'll pick you up when you're down. It will excite you to do things that you didn't think you were able to do. I never thought 30-some-odd years ago, friends, that I would be preaching the gospel of the Son of God, talking about Jesus Christ. I never thought I'd live and preach in all those different places that my brother spoke about. So the Word of God, my friend, can make you and lead you into things that you never thought you might do. Which is amazing in itself. It can make one happy. It can fulfill your life. It can. You ever feel defeated sometimes, brother? If you told me you didn't, I'd say you was lying to me. In 30-some-odd years that I've been trying to preach the gospel, 6 months after the Lord saved my soul, I began to preach, try to preach the gospel. I'm still trying today. But friend, along the way came doubt. Along the way came defeatedness. Like, what is it worth it? One of the worst times, I think, for a preacher is when he's in between things, when he doesn't know exactly what the Lord wants of him. And for me to wait is hard, I'm telling you. So I need your prayers. And I just, sometimes, I guess, if nothing else, this sermon tonight maybe it's just for me, and you're just here to encourage me, and I tell you what, I need that tonight, friends. We need to encourage one another. We need to think of one another. We need to provoke one another unto love and to good works, as the scripture says. I'm glad tonight to know that the Word of God can do that. It's truth. Let's look at Hebrews, the 12th chapter, in the first verse, first three verses there.
It says this, "Therefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and every sin which doth easily beset us, and run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy, my friends, that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." We're talking about Jesus, the only begotten. He's sitting right there right now, friend, listening and watching and waiting. So don't fail him this evening. If you got a song in your heart, you make sure you sing it tonight before you leave. You got a testimony, you want to praise God tonight, you do that before you leave the house of worship this evening. Praise God, for he is worthy to be praised, as the psalmist says in so many of his psalms, worthy to be praised. You know there's angels right now just in heaven, flying through heaven, singing holy, holy, holy. They're praising God Almighty, and that's what they were created for. Right now, they're doing that very thing. Sitting at the right hand of the throne of God, "For consider him that endured such contradictions of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your mind." So the Hebrew writers, most, I think is Paul. He said, he's on every side of us. He's there. He's done these things for us, friends. All the while I'm preaching, I want you to keep in the back of your mind. And we're not the first ones that ever had those thoughts about doubting. Are we on the right track? Are we doing the right thing? Is it worth what we're doing? Is it worth what we're giving up? Is it worth going through different things in our life? Having the persecution from time to time that comes as a child of God? And I say none of us have ever really faced that in our lives to the extent that our forefathers did in the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews. But know this. Hebrew writer went on to say in the 10th chapter, in the 35th verse through the 39th, "Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of our souls." Friend, we sometimes need patience in the work of the Lord. Friends, well, our timetable is certainly not like that of the Lord's, is it? For a day is like 1,000 years to the Lord, and 1,000 years is a day. Friend, he has no time. Time was created for you and I, and we're to be about the Father's business. He's put us here, every one of us. I think there's a plan for every saved individual in the world. No matter where they go to church, no matter where they attend, whether they're not a church member or whether they are a church member, the plans vary from different people to different people, friend. Not all preach, not all can be deacons, not all can be leaders in the church, but all can pray. Friend, there's a guidance, there's a plan for even you that are lost and separated from God. What is it? To be saved by His grace, to look to Him, my friend, the author and finisher of our faith, those of us that are saved, you're to look to Jesus. That's His plan for you. You don't need to get it out of sequence like the world has done it. Some believe, well, just get in church any way you can and get saved later. Modern theology will do that. Deceives a lot of people, and they find themselves living a Christian life. What is a Christian life? James said this in the 5th chapter, in the 7th verse through the 11th. "Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rains. Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Take my brethren, the prophet, who have spoken in the name of the Lord, for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endured. We have heard of the patience of Job. We have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and tender and mercy." know these things, brother. I'm trying to lead up to answer the question, to hopefully that you'll walk out of here tonight uplifted in your Savior, uplifted that you're a child of the King, uplifted to know that wherever you go, He is there. And many times, friend, He'll beat you there. No matter what the burden may lay on your heart, no matter what life brings at you, friend, in the Word of God, you'll find hope. You'll find consistency. You'll find, my friend, something so consistent the world doesn't understand it, that He's always there, that He'll never leave us nor forsake us. Oh, through all those old saints of old, how they had patience, how they suffered what they suffered, that you and I today could have what we have here today in Bowling Green, Kentucky, many of our sister churches. Friend, don't take for granted what God has blessed you with. Every service is important. Every time we meet as the children of God, it's important because there's a goal in mind, I think, that the Lord has, and that's for the world to be saved. And so I think, my friend, personally, I think we need to be on top of our game. We need to be prayed up. We need to be where the Lord would have us to be without excuse. But I'm telling you, when doubt creeps in, doubt sin. You know that? It is. It just plain is. When you can go to the Scriptures and see beyond a shadow of a doubt, there's no reason to doubt anything or any promise that the Lord's given throughout the Word of God. But it's in our nature to doubt God. It's in our DNA. We were born with that doubt, I think. We must fight our nature every minute of the day, I believe. We must continue to read God's Word and learn. We must study God's Word, friends, to be able to grow as God would have us to do. We need to look at the Word of God more and more and more for that plan that He has for each and every one of us, because there is something for us to do as the children of God. Now, am I going to get into specifics with you? No, I can get into specifics with me. I know what God wants of me when I pray, when I read, and when I study. But I know as the general rule, He said to go forth into all the world, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, reaching out to a lost and dying world, teaching them to be disciples, brothers and sisters, teaching them the doctrines of the Son of God, teaching them that they shouldn't doubt what He's promised. I've been waiting over 30 years for my mom to tell me that she's been saved. I wish I could tell you tonight she's told me that, but no, she's on another trip to Scotland and to England and Ireland. The last time that she came through the town, I was in revival at Old Union, and I've seen a lot of 30-year-old prayers being answered from church to church to church to church, everywhere that I've ever went. From the very first time I stepped in this building, you might recall if you were ever here, if you were here then, that I prayed for my mom, that I wanted my mom to be saved, and I wanted you to remember my mother, that she would come to know Jesus Christ and the free pardon of sin. Friend, I don't doubt that God can save her soul, because He said He would save anybody that would come unto Him. Friend, He knows our heart's desire. He knows I want to see her saved by the grace of God. But for the very first time, in a heavy and mighty way, my uncle and my mother were convicted. That's the only word I got for it. They were crushed with the Spirit of God. Sometimes I thought, as I was in my ministry, moving from here to yon, to that church, to that mission, whatever, wherever that the Lord might lead me, that and I know they thought I was crazy. And she called me yesterday as they got ready to leave and said, well, do you know where you're going, what you're going to do? I said, no, I'm just waiting on the Lord. And it's the hardest part of the ministry, is to wait and to be patient on God. But friend, I know He's there. He'll lead and He'll guide us if we'll just look to Him and find the answers that we crave and need. And don't doubt. Why doubt, friends? Why doubt? There's a refuge from the storm. Look, because I want to talk about my Lord. I want to talk about the one that's able to erase the doubt that you may have. If you're here tonight and you're lost, I want you to walk out of here knowing I'd love for you to be saved by God's grace, but I would at least want you to know that there's a God that can take care of all things, and even to the saving of your soul tonight. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the appointed time, as Scripture says. But in the Luke, we find as the Lord walked here in the 8th chapter, in the 22nd verse, there's an account of him, my friend. He was teaching, and then they shoved out from shore. We find here in the 22nd verse, "Now it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples, and he said unto them, Let us go over unto the other side of the lake. And they launched forth, but as they sailed, he fell asleep, and there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke, saying, Master, Master, we perished. Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the raging of the water, and ceased, and they ceased, and there was calm. And he said unto them, Where is your faith? And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, What manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and the waters. They do obey him." Friend, that's my Jesus I'm talking about. Even the winds, they marveled that he would be able to speak peace, and there was. That's the Jesus that we have tonight. Very same one that before the world was said, "I'm going to go. I'll make a way for him." The Lord, friend, is powerful. We find in the book of Joshua, and see that's I could go on, I guess, for hours. I don't plan on. But you could, after account of every miracle, every battle, everything in the Scriptures, that the Lord was there and what he gave an account for. Here he was out on the sea. A friend, he went to sleep. The storm arose in Scripture, and we find friends that they were scared and they were frightened of their life, but here they were sailing with the Master. They were sailing with the one who created the waves and the seas. Why should they marvel, friends, that he had the power just to do what they wanted them to do? When God created the oceans, do you know that he made the boundaries as far as they could go? Why doubt? The book of Joshua, the 10th chapter. The Bible it just always amazes me, even after so many years of trying to follow the Lord and seeing his mighty hand. But I want to stick with Scripture because he's mighty tonight. He's with us. He's walking with us. And I want us to be uplifted this evening, friends. I want us to know that we are the children of God, that he loves us. A friend, he loves us so much. He made a way for us to be saved. He made a way for us to come into his kingdom. He's made a home for us over in glory when it's all said and done with. We are special in the eyes of the Lord this evening. All those that have been redeemed are so much that he could even stop time, and he's done that in Scripture. In Joshua, the 10th chapter, and the 12th and through the 14th verse, "Then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel, and he said in the sight of Israel, Sun, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and the moon in the valley of Ajalon, and the sun stood still, and the moon stayed until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. Is it not written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven, and hastened not to go down about a whole day. And there was no day like that before it, or after it, that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man. For the Lord fought for Israel. He fought for his people. He fought for his nation, friend, to the very point that he just stopped time. He just made that sun stand still and that moon. They did not move in their natural, my friend. He defied physics. He defied the laws of nature, friend. Who could do that? I'm telling you, the only one that could do that is the Creator, our God and our Deliverer. Why doubt? Why doubt? Because he loves us just as much as he did the natural nation of Israel. I'm telling you tonight, I'm a Jew. I'm circumcised in the heart. I'm a child of God this evening, friends. I'm his and he's mine, and we walk together hand in hand when we don't doubt. When I don't doubt, he never doubts. When I don't doubt. God is so loving and caring. And take, for example, Samson. I don't know about what you think of Samson. He was a judge in Israel for 20-some years, I think. And he did about what he wanted to do. He's no really example to hold up before the people of God and say, be like Samson. He married he wanted a Philistine as a wife, and he laid with harlots, and he just did what he wanted to do. And he was supposed to be a ruler and a judge in Israel. And to the very point, my friend, that he was... And I bring all this up to show you the kind of God and the kind of love that God has. Here's someone I think that should have been punished beyond degree. He had great strength. Many times that he would take care of the Israelites. My friend, he'd battle for them. He killed so many Philistines. My friend, it tells about a lot of things about what Samson did. And then he got with Delilah and told her what gave him strength. They bound him, and he became a little no more than a beast of burden. They chained him to the mill, and he just went round and round and grinded the wheat and made flour. Until one day, the Bible says, and you know, here he was a hero, I'm sure, to some in Israel. And he walked, I think, contrary to the will of God in his life. Even though God was with him and God gave him his strength and he was able to do those things against the enemies of the children of Israel, he still wasn't the man that he should have been for the Lord. I don't believe that he was, friends. But I want you to know, we serve a God of second chances. We serve a God that loves you so much, friend. And here I say that is with Samson, because this, as they took him out from that mill and they put him between the two pillars of the temple and they were making fun of him, friend, they were making fun of that child of God, and he asked the Lord one more time, God, one more time, give me my strength, just one more time. Let me die with these Philistines. And it said he took out more that day than he did his whole life, judging Israel some 20 years. What love, what compassion that our God has. Why do we doubt? Why do we think sometimes that we can't get the job done? Friend, there's nothing that can stand against us. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, the scriptures say. Nothing at all. No evils. Anything such as these things can separate us from Jesus Christ if we've been born again by His Spirit. Oh, I doubt. You know, I wanted this message to be, by the help of the Lord, a message of hope and a message that would lift God's people up and a message that would incite our zeal for the work and the battle that's before us. Do you know we're in a battle? Every day is a battle, whether we actually see armed conflict or not. It's a battle. Satan is as a lion, the Bible says, devouring whom he may. He's walking this earth. He's trying to tread to God's people down. He's trying to put us in a box somewhere, friends. But I'm telling you, let's get out of the box. Let's fight the battle that God has for us. Don't doubt. It doesn't matter tonight where you find your life, what situation that you are in right now. There's a lot of things that could bring doubt in your life. A lot of different things that you may be involved in that are bringing your Christian walk with the Lord down. But know this, God does love us. God does care for us. God does want us to walk with Him and to talk with Him. God wants us to read the plan that He has for us in His book. He wants us to study it. He wants us to learn it. He wants us to take it to heart that we might go out here and do those things which we need to do as the children of God. As I said in the beginning, He's got a plan for us, my friend. He's got something for each and every one of us to do. I want us to go out here when it's all said and done, friend, and tell the world that Jesus saved. No matter who they are, no matter how, you know, if God would ever open the door, I would just go anywhere. Talk to anybody. Because that's the kind of courage that your God can give you and our God can give us. He can lift us up. He said those of us that are saved are like those that have founded their foundation on a rock. It's solid. Jesus Christ is, you can't get anything more solid than Christ Jesus, the only begotten Son of God. You can't stand on anything stronger that will last longer in this side of eternity and take you on into the next. There's nothing out there, my friend. There's no other answer except Jesus Christ. Don't doubt that. He said it of Himself. This book teaches it from lid to lid that He is the way, the truth, and the life, that He is the answers. There's no reason to doubt, friends, today. And whatever your circumstances in life are, my friend, put your trust and faith in Jesus. And the answers will be there. The answers will be there. Turn with me as I get ready to wind down here to the 25th chapter of the book of Isaiah, where I really got all this thought in my heart. I suppose it's a verse I've read before, but it just one of those times that, you know, it just sticks out to you. And I may get more out of this than you will. I don't know. It's where I got my subtitle from, too. Why Doubt? A Refuge from the Storm. 25th chapter of the book of Isaiah in the 4th verse. The Lord, my friend, is with us here tonight. Whatever trial or tribulation, whatever giant that you've got to bring down, He can bring it down. He brought down Goliath. He brought down the walls of Jericho. He brought the children of Israel across the Red Sea. He's the one that said, let there be light. There was light. Why doubt? It's the same God. He's the one that saved your soul. He's the one that saved mine. But this verse says here, for thou hast been a strength to the poor, a strength to the needy in his distress, a refuge from the storm. A shadow from the heat when the blast of the terrible one is as a storm against the wall. A refuge from the storm. Every one of us are going to have battles. Some of them will be private. A lot of them are between a child of God and what they battle and the God that's there to help them. But don't doubt tonight. Whatever your problem is, whatever your trial that you may be going through, whatever a little doubt that maybe that Satan's trying to creep into your life, know that He is God and that He sits on the right hand of the Father, that He said He would never leave us nor forsake us, that He'd walk with my friends to the end of the earth and beyond. A strength to the poor. Over 30 years ago, I was poor and needy, friends. I'm still poor and needy, but not in the way that I'm talking about tonight. I was in distress as an 18-year-old boy. And a fierce storm came to my life. I tried everything in the world to fill that empty void that I had in my life. I couldn't even, as a child and a young man, I couldn't figure those things out. And so I'm trying the world. Friend, don't try the world. Try Jesus. Don't go that way because it's not worth it. Friend, don't waste your life and time. And you know that the time is precious that the God has given you because I believe with all my heart there's someone for you to reach, young and old alike. And there's none of you that are going to be able to retire. Not until the Lord says, come home. My good and faithful servant, come home. But until then, we've got to weather the storm. But that storm in my life in that particular time, friend, I was lost and without God with no answers. And the only answer I could find from the refuge from that particular storm was Jesus Christ. You've all heard me. Most of you have heard me anyway. My testimony. I'm thankful tonight that I have one. A refuge from the storm. Hebrews says in 13th chapter and 5th verse, let your conversations be without covetousness and be content with such things as ye have, for He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. That's a hard one for a lot of us, isn't it? Be content with what we have. When a society and a world and a country says you need more and you got to have more and you need more to have any happiness in your life, you've got to have this new thing or that new thing. You've got to go to this big school or that school. You got to have so much money. Well, friends, the Bible says be content and walk with Jesus, for He's the one that will weather you through the storm. You can accumulate, my friend, all the riches of the world. And Scripture says, what good is it if you've lost your own soul? Nothing. Nahushtan. Nothing.
went on to say, I'm going to start over because I got sidetracked. Let your conversations be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. I will not fear what man shall do unto me, or really the devil and all his minions. I've got an armor tonight that can stand whatever Satan wants to throw at me. I don't say that lightly because he's a powerful being. And he could take us down in a heartbeat if we let him, and we fall away from the Lord. If we let doubts and the lack of faith creep into our lives, friend, you'll find yourself in a terrible, terrible shape, in a terrible way. And you say, well, how can the saved be like that? We can. It's in our DNA. God didn't, my friend, change this outward man, but he changed that inner man that's going to be with God in glory. But I've got to fight it every day. Got to fight it every day, and we must keep on fighting. Isaiah said, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God, and I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. 41:10. I like that. Fear not. I remember when I was 18 and I had lots of doubts about life as whole and in general, and then it came to the saving of my soul. I learned about Jesus Christ and heard people's testimonies, and I thought within myself, I'm never going to get saved. You know, Satan works that way. If you're here and you're lost tonight, he's going to make you think you can't get it or you don't deserve it. Well, you don't deserve it, but you can still get it. That's the way God is. Samson shouldn't have been blessed as he was, but God loved him all the same, even with all of his mistakes. We've all got mistakes, friends, and there's no doubt in my mind. Isaiah went on to say in the 41st verse, in the 17th, 41st chapter, in the 17th verse, when the poor and needy seek water, and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them, and I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. When you thirst after, when you're hungry for righteousness, friend, when you thirst after it, my friend, I want you to know, child of God, he will bring it to you. He will give unto you what you need that you can battle the battles that are out here. You can talk to your friends and you can be a witness as God would have you be out here, that you be the salt that he wants you to be, friend. He wants you to be out here telling the world that Jesus saves. Don't ever doubt that. If you doubt anything, don't doubt that God needs and wants you. I should rephrase that because I know God doesn't need me. But he gives me a portion of a job to do occasionally. And I thank him for that tonight. But his plan is so that he saves people and he gives them a work to do. Pretty simple. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself, it is the gift of God. And it goes on to talk about those works that are there ordained that we should walk therein. And I paraphrase that, but he wants you to be saved and he wants you to work. And I know along the way, you know, if just one of you tonight, if there's been some doubt in your heart, don't doubt. For the God that saved my unworthy soul and saved your soul is with us here this evening. His plan is not deviated. He's not changed. He's still the same course. The same today as he was yesterday, Scripture teaches us. That God doesn't change. He doesn't waver. And he's still, my friend, on the right hand of God, making intercessions to us that would call unto him, saved or lost. Saved or lost. When you thirst, I won't forsake him, he said. Isaiah went on to say in 42nd chapter, 16th verse, and I will bring the blind. Can't imagine what it would be to be blind. But I was blind. But now I see. God's too good, friends. Why doubt? There's a refuge in the storm.
No matter what storm it is, if you're lost and separated without Him, He'll bring you by the way. I will bring the blind by a way they knew not. I will lead them in paths they have not known. I will make darkness light before them and crooked things straight. These things will I do unto them and not forsake them. Why doubt, friends? Why doubt? Because the only way that you're going to weather any storm in your life is through Jesus Christ. The only way you'll ever get saved is through Jesus Christ. The only way you'll live a life that's worth living in this life is through Jesus Christ. The only way that you'll have an honorable life and a walk in this world and get anything accomplished. And it doesn't matter to me, you can be the richest, most talented and intelligent man, but if you live your life without the Lord, you've missed it. You've missed it, friends, to know that the Lord is by your side, walks with you where you go, and is ready and willing to lift you up no matter where that you find yourself, no matter what circumstances that you're in. I'll close with Paul and Silas because I love those brethren. I can't even imagine when I read the account of them being beaten for the gospel's sake. For doing the things that the Lord wanted them to do. And they find themselves beaten, severely beaten, friends, and thrown into prison. No one attended, I'm sure, their aches and their pains. Don't sound to me, when I read the account, that God left us to know, to see, that there was any doubt. For at the midnight hour, they began to praise God. They began to praise God. And through the end result, see, this is what I always look for. This is what motivates me in life, friend, people getting saved by God's grace. That's what motivates me. It may be simple to you, but friends, I live to see people get saved. I want to see people get saved. I want all my loved ones and friends and strangers that I run across with, friend, to be saved by God's grace, to know that they can live a life without doubt and without fear, that the Lord will be with them no matter where they go, and that He's still the same. Still the same. From Genesis 1:1, that God is the same. Right now, they began to sing praises. The end result was a jailer getting saved and his whole family. That's what happens when you live a life of without doubt. Aren't you glad you don't have to be in charge of results? That His word's going to go out and it's going to prosper whereunto He sent it. That's what Isaiah taught. And that He'd take care of the results. We're not in results business. I like to see results, friend. I like to see the church grow. But friend, there's a plan for all that, is there not? That we might pray for laborers because the harvest is great, but the laborers are few. God's got a plan for us. Don't doubt it, friends. Walk with the Lord. Praise God in your life and live a life without doubt. You can find a refuge in any storm that comes in your life. If it's drugs, if it's alcohol, if it's money, if it's marital problems, if it's children that you're giving you problems, friend, any storm can be weathered with Jesus Christ. Any of them. I'm not a psychologist, but they ought to teach that more. You go in and get some counseling, my friend. You ought to stay with the people that know about Jesus Christ. Know that there is a God in heaven that can take care of it all. And I mean all. How do I know that? I personally know that. I have been saved by His marvelous and wonderful grace. Healed, you might say. But I know, as I know my name tonight, that we're going to have doubts because that's just part of our DNA. But when you do, the minute, please, friend, there's a battle going on out here. I've got a mom that's lost and an uncle and a sister and nieces and nephews that don't know the Lord. I've got people that I've met in the last 5 years in Bowling Green that don't know the Lord. I know I've preached to hundreds, my friend, on television that probably did not know the Lord. Friend, there's a battle going on here when in a minute, the very minute, the second, millisecond, that doubt comes into your mind. Lean not to thine own understanding. Oh, but lean towards the one that say, peace be still. A refuge from the storm. Why doubt? Why doubt? Let's have a song. If
you're here tonight and you've got something on your heart that you need to get off, take it to the Lord. If you need to make that public, then make it public. If you need to get saved, come, pray. The altar's never closed here. I know the people well enough to know that if you need to seek God for whatever reason that it might be, then you need to seek God. No matter what part of the building you want to be in, seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He's near. He's with us this evening, friend. Don't ever doubt the Word of God. It's the true living Word. He left it here for us to know and to understand. He's with us. So as we stand and we sing this song, if you're here at, I don't know, maybe you have a simple doubt. But I'll tell you what, if you leave, I think it was last night, I had a splinter in my hand. Cedar splinter, by the way, Brother Miller. Just a tiny little sliver. It hurt like the dick. I had to get my wife to get it out for me. I said, I always say that when she takes out a splinter in my hand. I've worked with wood all my life. How can something so tiny hurt so much? A little bit of doubt, friends, will begin to fester. Your life won't be what it needs to be, and Satan will have won. Because I want you to know, child of God, there's a work for you to do. I don't know where it's going to lead you, and I don't know how it's going to take you, but I know there's a work for you to do. Young and old alike, there's somebody you need to reach with the gospel. So if you need to pray for that burden, you need to get that little doubt out of your mind that you're useless. A lot of things started with one person. I think of Naaman and the building of the wall and the little Israelite girl who was a slave. And nations have been changed by individuals because they had a little burden. So don't let doubt take that away from you. Be the child of God that you need to be. As we stand and sing, if you need to pray, come and pray.
44, number